Larry Burkett once said, "The one principle that surrounds everything else is that of stewardship, that we are managers of everything that God has given us." Hi, I'm Rob West. We're stewards because God created everything and therefore owns everything. As stewards, we're to manage wisely the resources God entrusts to us. But how do we know we're doing that? Today, I'll give you 7 marks of a good steward. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Now, when Christians hear the word stewardship, we tend to think of money or tithing. And obviously, those things are important. But stewardship involves much more than that. Jesus entrusted us with the gospel and gave us his immeasurable love by dying on the cross. As stewards of those priceless gifts, we're to share them with the world. So keep in mind that stewardship isn't just about money. So what are the marks or characteristics of good stewards? Well, I've already mentioned the first. They acknowledge that everything belongs to God. They possess resources only temporarily to serve his purposes. They don't hoard or covet more. They understand that even the skills they possess to earn a living are a gift. Deuteronomy 8:18 reads, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth." And 1 Peter 4:10, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." Next, good stewards fully understand the mission they've been given and how important it is. God has graciously given them a role to play in his plan, and they take that role seriously, but with humility. They take comfort in Proverbs 16:3, which reads, "Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established." A third trait of good stewards is that they are faithful. Now, of course, this means they are faithful in following God's financial principles, earning, saving, investing, and most important, giving. They are persistent and persevering. That means they're also faithful in their calling as stewards of the gospel, and they're not afraid to share it. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 reads, "Just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts." Romans 1:16 reads, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." A fourth characteristic of good stewards is that they are trustworthy. They're truthful and honest in all they say and do. Proverbs 12:22 warns, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight." Titus 1:7 follows that up with, "An overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered, or a drunkard, or violent, or greedy for gain." Next, good stewards are diligent. They don't waste time watching mindless programs on television or staring at their phones monitoring social media. They develop good habits for eating and exercise. 1 Corinthians 15:38 teaches, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And Proverbs 13:4, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." And the sixth trait of good stewards is that they spend time in prayer, seeking God's will and his wisdom. James 1:5 reads, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." Good stewards do not waste time worrying because they know that God will provide. Philippians 4:6 teaches, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And the final characteristic of good stewards is that they act when they feel the Spirit leading them to. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So, folks, those are the 7 characteristics of a good steward. They, of course, set the bar pretty high, and none of us can expect to exhibit them all of the time, but we must always try. The goal? Faithfulness. We need to be obedient, and God's word says those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. All right, we're going to take your calls next. The number is 800-525-7000. By the way, you can call that number 24/7. 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. A promise can be very powerful, whether you're promising to give a child ice cream after dinner or making wedding vows. A promise is built on trust. Keeping a promise builds that trust, but breaking it, it could bring great pain to the one you made a promise to. God has made a promise. Though we break our promises and we fail God daily, the Lord has promised to continue to love us. 1 Kings 8, reminding us, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, whether you're having a good day or a bad day, this much is true. The Lord promises to love you and to be your God. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Well, we're so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Hey, as we start a new week, we'd love to tackle your financial questions today at 800-525-7000. You know, we started today by talking about the seven marks of a good steward, beginning with the idea that everything belongs to God. You see, as stewards, we understand that we are entrusted with much and we're to be found faithful. That's the goal, to understand the heart of the master so we can manage his money faithfully. And at the core of faithfulness is obedience to God's word. So we have to understand the counsel of Scripture if we're ever going to be that faithful steward that we've been called to be. Well, this program is designed so we can help you do just that. Not that we have all the answers, but that we can point you back to God's word, help you process the practical decisions and choices you're making in your financial life today in light of a biblical worldview, which is what happens here at American Family Radio every day as we think about your life and helping you align it with Scripture and Christ-likeness. We want to do that this hour with your money management. So what are you thinking about today? Give us a call. Again, lines are open, and we've got our team standing by. If you get a busy signal, call right back. We'll try to get to as many calls as we can today. 800 800- 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. Hey, before we dive into your financial questions today by phone, let's tackle a few that have come in by email recently. By the way, if you have a question you'd like to send to us today, you can do that at askrob@faithfi.com. All right, we're going to begin with Andy's question. He writes to us, Rob, last year government I-bonds were the hot investment. This year it's high-yield online savings. We're already hearing that bonds are going to be way up next year as interest rates come down. Whatever happened to buy and hold as we were taught for decades? Did I miss something? Andy, it's a great question. No, buy and hold is the way to invest. I will say, though, that, for instance, in the case of the I-bonds, you know, we went into that knowing it was kind of a one-time event that was created based on this 40-year high inflation, which, again, it was a 40-year high. So it was a bit of an anomaly. And what we had said on this program was, for money that has a 1 to 3 year time horizon, and that's a very specific bucket of your savings because you can't need it for emergencies because it's got to be in there for at least a year. But I was telling folks that if you have more than a 3 year time horizon, I'd probably invest it in stocks and bonds and take a longer term approach because we knew that the I-bonds, for instance, were a specific investment for a short window of time while we had that 40 year high inflation. You remember, last year, we had 9% inflation because of a whole host of factors. As a result, it created this unique buying opportunity for I-bonds with nearly a risk-free investment, but again, paying for a six-month period at least 9.6% and then 6.8% in the 6 months following. So it was a great investment for a time. Now, moving forward, I don't think it is. So if you enjoyed that, you know, roughly between a 12-month period, maybe a 7% plus rate, or you got in at 6.8 and 4.3 where it is now, you got, you know, a little better than 5%. That's great, but you can do better elsewhere because the Fed has made it clear they are going to keep rates high. Federal Reserve Chairman Powell said just last week, we expect rates to stay elevated and probably close to where they are today, if not a little higher, through most of 2024, which means they're going to be around for a while. But they will make sure that they are slowing the economy to fight inflation, and that's going to bring this I-bond rate down. It already has. We'll see it drop again in November. So this is probably the time for you to redirect that short-term money, again, that 1 to 3 year bucket, into something like a high-yield savings account or a short-term CD, 12, 24, 36 months, something like that. So no, you didn't miss anything, Andy. Still buy and hold, but these were just a unusual investment, again, near risk-free with an elevated interest rate that for folks who had some money that fit that specific purpose, it was a great opportunity. By the way, we are going to be headed to your phone calls here in just a moment. You can call right now with your financial questions. We'll tackle them today on the program. 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. A second question comes from Brenda. She writes, if you retire at 62, how do you go about trying to get the maximum amount? Or do you have to go to full retirement age at 67? I'll be 62 next year, and I'm thinking about retiring. If I can't get enough to live on, can I work at a job while drawing Social Security? You can't get full retirement benefits, Brenda, if you begin drawing at 62. And by the way, a majority of Americans do that. I recommend against it. You see, your benefits will be reduced by about 8% per year for every year you take them prior to reaching full retirement age. So you could have a 30% reduction or so if you take your benefits at 62 versus full retirement age 66 or 67. Now, you can continue working while receiving Social Security benefits, but if you take those benefits prior to full retirement age, well, you can only earn up to $21,240 a year before your benefits are reduced. At that point, above that level, and for every $2 you earn above $21,240, your benefits are going to be reduced by a dollar. Now, I will say, once you reach your full retirement age, you will get reimbursed by the Social Security Administration for the amount of your benefits that were withheld in the form of a higher check over time until you're fully repaid. So you're going to get back what you gave up by working and earning beyond the limit, but you're never going to get back that reduced benefit that you locked in by taking it early. So what that means is I would consider either working a bit longer if you can, or if you don't need the money, certainly don't take it. Look for other opportunities to let that check continue to build so that once you do take it, you're maximizing what you're going to receive for the rest of your life. By the way, you know, if you take it at 62, you're looking probably at about if you take it at full retirement age versus 62, you're looking at about 12 years that you would have to earn that higher check to make up for what you didn't receive by taking it at 62. But from that point forward, you get a higher check for the rest of your life. So it does make some sense, assuming the Lord tarries, you're in good health, you're going to live a while. And at age 65, your life expectancy is for men 83 and for women 86. So the data says you should be able to take, you know, what you gave up and get a higher amount from that point forward. So hopefully that helps you process this decision. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is worth thinking about. All right, one final question by email, and then we'll be taking your phone calls after the break. Todd says, are there any ways to use equity in my property to clear up some bad debt? My credit is poor, but I have more than enough equity to clear up bad debt that's causing my credit to suffer. Todd, I wouldn't do that. You know, we often see, especially with the rising home values, equity kind of sitting there burning a hole in our pocket. And we often think, well, I could tap that for all kinds of things. Just guard against that, especially when you have unsecured debt that would now be secured to your home. So if you were unable to pay, it's not just a judgment anymore. You'd actually have the ability to lose your home. For that reason, I'd say let's leave that equity right there. Let's find other ways to make good on this bad debt. Let's contact them. Let's trim your lifestyle. Let's cut back on your spending. Let's find margin. Let's see if we can get on a payment plan to try to get that paid back. Let's not run to tap that home equity, which, by the way, at 8% interest rates is going to be very expensive money. Hey, thanks for writing to us today. Folks, we're going to take your questions just around the corner. Call right now, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
More than ever, pastors need to feel people's love and support. There's no better time to do this than Pastor Appreciation Month in October. And there's no better way to do it than using the easy as 1-2-3 Bless Your Pastor materials, available for free at blessyourpastor.org. If your church uses the free 1-2-3 materials, church pastors will be offered a $300 scholarship application to attend a marriage retreat. Learn more at blessyourpastor.org. That's blessyourpastor.org.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
The FACE Act, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, was signed into law by President Bill Clinton. Since Roe v. Wade was overturned last year, the DOJ has used it as a tool to terrorize pro-life advocates who wish to peacefully plead with women to save the lives of their unborn children. Congressman Chip Roy has introduced a bill to repeal the FACE Act. Will you contact your representative and urge them to support H.R. 5577? Find out more at afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40 plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance right here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is the program where we take your financial questions around applying God's wisdom to the decisions and choices you're making today. So what are you thinking about financially today? Is it your lifestyle, that spending plan, trying to make ends meet? Maybe you have a variable income, wondering how to budget around that. Is it repaying debt? Do you prioritize paying off the mortgage, or should you invest for the future? How can you do both? Maybe it's that credit score, giving wisely, or investing in light of these challenging times with political unrest. We've got an election year coming up. We've also got, obviously, geopolitical risk and a war raging overseas. Just so many cross currents right now, not to mention these high interest rates. We saw last year the home mortgage interest rates cross 8% for the first time in a long time. All of that making it really difficult to navigate just all of the things you have on a daily basis. So what are you thinking about? We'd love to talk about it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're going to start taking your calls here in just a moment. There is some news out from Social Security today, though. Social Security beneficiaries will get a 3.2% cost of living adjustment, 3.2%. Medicare premiums will also increase, lowering the net increase to recipients. I would have expected a little bit more on that COLA adjustment. I'm sure you would have too, just given where core inflation is. They use CPI. That's how that number is derived. But nevertheless, that's what's coming next year. Also, some other changes just in terms of the tax rates related to FICA taxes and even the amount that will be taxed for Social Security beyond your current income. A lot of data out. You can check it out just as you do a search for it. But the big headline, 3.2%, is that COLA for next year. All right, let's start taking some of your calls today. We've got a couple of lines open, 800-525-7000. We'll go to Alabama. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling. Go ahead. Hi, Sarah. Are you with us?
Yes. Can you
hear
me?
Great. Yes, ma'am. How can I help you?
Yeah. So I had talked to some friends about taking out like a home loan to do some remodeling on your house. And they said it wasn't like a mortgage. And I've never heard of anything like this before. And like we're wanting to do a remodel on our kitchen and our bathroom and add an extra room. And I was wondering if you could tell me what my best option would be on doing that.
Yeah. Well, it is a mortgage. It just it comes by a different name. It's probably what they call a home equity line of credit. Does that sound familiar?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and basically anything that is collateralized by your home is essentially a mortgage. The question is just, is it a fixed amount that they would give you at closing? So with a typical mortgage or what's called a home equity loan, when you go to closing, they write you a check for however much you're borrowing, and then you have a scheduled, what's called an amortization schedule, that tells you how you're going to pay it back, and out of every payment, how much goes to interest and how much goes to principal, and then you pay it back over a set period of time, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. With a home equity line of credit, the difference is they're approving you for a line, but at closing, you don't have to take a penny. And then you access that line as you'd like, which is why it's often used for renovations and improvements, because you may get the line several months before you're ready to actually begin construction. And at that point, you know, then you'd write checks to the contractors or the general contractor as the work is done, and you'd borrow it when you need it. And then as long as the line is open, when you pay it back, it becomes available to you again, kind of like a credit card. But in this case, it's attached to your home with the home as collateral. And in many cases, you're just paying interest only while the line is open. At some point, the line closes, meaning you can no longer access the balance or the limit. And then whatever that amount owed is at that point, then you'd have a scheduled repayment over a period of time, you know, to pay it back. And they generally, home equity line of credit would generally have a variable rate. Now, we would normally not recommend that because it has a variable rate, and especially for the last, you know, 20 years plus, where interest rates were very low. In light of that, we would recommend a home equity loan with a fixed rate of interest, because you wouldn't want the rate moving up and down. And this is a great, this is a classic example of what's right going on right now. Those who got home equity lines of credit with variable rates when mortgages were at 3 or 4%, now the rates have moved up over time, and they're having to spend a lot more on interest because rates are now 8% plus. And as a result of that, it just creates a real challenge and some uncertainty around how much you're actually going to have to pay. There is a benefit today of getting that home equity line of credit with that variable rate, because we believe interest rates will start down sometime next year, probably late next year into 2025. And as they do with the home equity line of credit, your interest rate would begin to drop with the prevailing interest rates. And then you would actually be able to benefit from that. So, you know, I think that's probably the way for you to go. How much are you all looking to borrow, Sarah, and in what timeline?
Well, I had some people look at what we were wanting to do before, and this was before COVID, and they were saying, you know, probably $50,000-ish, you know, more or less.
Okay.
And but now since COVID and the prices have gone up, I'm sure it's a, you know, get it more than that.
It could be, yeah. And what equity do you have in the house? What's the house worth, and what do you owe on it today?
Well, I don't know how much equity is in it right now, to be honest, because my husband had got the house the year before he and I got together.
Okay.
And he still owes, I want to say, probably around $50,000 on it now.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. And what do you think it's worth, roughly?
I wouldn't even know where to start, to be honest,
okay,
with the way the house prices are today, because they've more than doubled.
Yeah. I mean, you could go to Zillow.com, Z-I-L-L-O-W, put in your home address, and you'd get an idea. Not that that's the end all, but you'd get a start. Yeah, I think for you, the home equity line of credit would be the best option. I would reach out among any other places you want to look to our friends at Movement Mortgage, movement.com/faith. But that's probably the way to go. Sarah, stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more. We'll be right back.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Friday edition of Washington Watch, last week...
Tolerance for abusive actions by monopolies.
But is it really just another power grab by the federal government? Parents are not happy with classroom indoctrination and the radical policies they're pushing.
Washington Watch, weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evenings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com.
That's eventideinvestments.com.
Are you investing in the future of God's kingdom or wonder how your money can make the most impact for His purposes? Kenneth Boa and Russ Crossan wrote the book Leverage, using temporal wealth for eternal gain, to guide these discussions and build a financial legacy where moth nor rust destroy. Request your copy with your gift of any amount at faithfi.com. Your donation helps us share God's financial principles with others. Leverage your resources for greater impact today.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Taking your calls and questions today on anything financial, 800-525-7000. We'd love to help, encourage you, provide some practical advice rooted in Scripture, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Also coming up in our next segment, Bob Dahl stops by with his Monday market commentary. We'll find out what Bob's thinking about as we start another week in the markets. But first, let's head back to the phones to Virginia. Hi, Jacqueline. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hi. So I was calling because I was given some stocks from my late uncle's estate in August 2022. And because I did nothing with them, I forgot about them and forgot to put them on my taxes. Now I'm trying to figure out, how do I go back and let them know I have these? What kind of forms would I fill out?
Yeah. Well, never a bad idea to check with a CPA when you have tax questions. But I will just say, kind of generally speaking here, Jacqueline, am I understanding that you didn't sell these positions? You just received them and you've held on to them. Is that right?
Correct. I received them, held on to them, and they've actually lost a couple thousand dollars. They went from a value of $7,000 to $5,000. So there's been no gain since I've received them.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You don't have to report that you received them. You, with inherited stock, you would only owe taxes when you sell them if you had a gain from the date that you received them, because you get the stepped-up basis to the date of death. So the cost basis on these for determining any capital gains is the date of death. And then from that point forward, you either have a gain or a loss, but you don't realize that until you sell them. So the fact that you've held these, there's not a capital gain or a capital loss that would be reported on your taxes because you still own them. And you don't. There's no inheritance tax, and so theoretically there's nothing to report until you liquidate this position or a portion of it.
Okay. So once I cash them in, that's when I would claim them.
That's right. Then you'd either have a capital gain or a capital loss based on how, you know, the selling price versus the market value as of the date of death. So if you were to sell them today, based on what you're telling me, you'd have a loss, not a gain. So you wouldn't owe any taxes, and you may be able to use that to your advantage, depending on the rest of your tax situation.
Oh, okay, super. That makes me feel so much better.
Okay, good. Hey, thanks for calling today. All the best to you, and I'm sorry to hear about your uncle's passing, but I'm delighted to hear that you want to be a faithful steward of what God has given you. So call anytime if we can help further. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to tackle your financial questions today. We've got a couple of lines open again, 800 800- 525-7000. Let's go to Mississippi. Hey, Gary, thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I'm blessed myself. I am calling you today. I got hurt about 17 years ago when I've been on disability. So I'm actually starting a new job today. I drive trucks for a living, and I'll be making $125,000, but I'm wanting to pay my house off before I retire at 64.
Okay. Yeah. So you're just wondering what that payment schedule needs to look like in order to get that done?
Right, because I've been living on disability on like $1,780 a month. So I'm going to keep living like that and just put, you know, save whatever on my house, double my note, whatever I need to do to either pay it off in 10 years or have it pretty close to paid off.
Yeah, very good. I love that plan, Gary, because that would help you to, you know, reduce your lifestyle at that point as you're heading into retirement to ensure that that largest expense is no longer, you know, a part of your spending plan, which is just going to make, you know, there's a lot less pressure on you for income generation if you're living on Social Security or some other retirement. Here's what I would do. We have a great tool just for this purpose, Gary. There's no cost to use it. Are you comfortable using the internet?
Sure.
Yeah. So just go to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com/debt. faithfi.com/debt. And what you'll find there is just a really simple tool, and you'll enter in the debt that you have, and you might just enter in this home mortgage if you don't want to put other things in it. And then when you get to the end of kind of the questions that it'll ask you about your debt, it will give you a really simple interface where you can see, you'll have a slider, and you can basically determine how much you need to send extra every month in order to hit a certain target for that payoff. It'll even give you the amortization schedule that shows you out of every payment how much is going to interest, how much is going to principal. But I think that's going to give you what you're looking for, and then you can play around with that to figure how much beyond your scheduled monthly payment you need to send in order to accomplish your goal of getting this house paid off in 10 years. Okay?
Okay, and I have, right now I have no other debt whatsoever. My car
Perfect.
Is paid off.
Oh, that's great.
I live in an apartment, so I don't have any debt outstanding, so everything would be going toward my house and then, you know, toward my retirement.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, I'm delighted to hear you're back to work, Gary. I'm sure that feels good to be out and about, huh?
Oh, absolutely. God has blessed me in so many ways.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for your testimony of God's faithfulness. And again, that website you're looking for, faithfi.com/debt. And I think that'll give you all the tools you need. It's really easy to use, and it'll arm you with the tools to be able to get that plan that's going to take you in that direction. We appreciate your calling, Gary. If you need any help with anything else along the way, let us know. By the way, folks, this is a phenomenal resource that our team put together. Again, faithfi.com/debt. It's also great for credit card debt, and it'll help you analyze the debt that you have. You can even look at it, your credit card debt, in light of the snowball versus the avalanche method. What in the world is that, you might say? Well, the snowball is when you go smallest to largest balance, not counting the interest rate, and it helps you get a quick win to give you the kind of psychological boost to keep going. You can compare that to the avalanche method to see if you go highest to lowest interest rate as you pay off your credit cards. And again, you can determine how much you need to pay extra to get it paid off in a certain period of time. It's really helpful. Our team did a great job with it. Check it out today. All right, back to the phones quickly to Texas. Hi, Danny. Go ahead, sir. Danny, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear
great.
Me? Great.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
I am wanting to pay my house off and use 401 money from my 401k.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just wondering if that's a good idea. I'm will be 60 in January, and I'm planning on retiring this year.
Okay.
And I'm going to be drawing from my 401k, so.
Yeah.
If I don't pay my house off, I'm going to have to draw probably approximately 8% a month.
Yeah.
But if I paid my house off, then I would be drawing, of course, much less, you know.
Yeah. How much do you have in your 401k?
Probably about 1.5.
Okay. And how much do you owe on the house?
A little less than $100,000.
Okay. So you'd have about 1.4 left, and then how much would you need per month to pull from that after you paid off the house?
If I just probably around $5,000.
Okay.
At that time.
Yeah, I like that plan because I think, you know, at 4% a year on 1.4, I think you could easily pull $5,000 a month, about $60,000 a year. And I think taxes are headed higher, so I kind of like the fact that you're not going to have the penalty, but you're going to be paying a low tax rate. I might just look at pulling it over two tax years. Let's talk more around the corner. We'll be right back.
The core of all of the difficulty that we endure here as human beings, it comes down to this. God's word or man's word? One of the major features that has contributed to this degradation of society in our country, in America in particular, is that we have lost our understanding of the transcendent, surpassing glory of God.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That too. American Family Radio, streaming or podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. I've got room for maybe one or two more before we round out the broadcast. 800-525-7000. You can call right now. That's 800-525-7000. Each Monday, Bob Dahl joins us in this segment. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Bob weighs in on his market analysis and commentary. He calls it Dahl's Deliberations. Bob, good morning.
And to you, sir.
All right, another week. Here we go. Market's been under some pressure as of late. What are you thinking about? What are you watching as we start a new week?
Yeah, there are a collection of things that are weighing on the market, Rob. The only one that's really new, I think, is obviously what's going on in the Middle East. And on that issue, we've said, despite the human tragedy, which is just awful, for the markets, as long as it stays contained to Israel and the Gaza Strip, doesn't matter much. If oil gets involved, Iran gets involved, then it's a whole other problem. And I think that's what the markets have started to worry about in the last week. Could it spread? In the meantime, earnings are coming in. They're okay, but not great. Valuations have come down as the markets come down, but are still not attractive. So a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. We've used that phrase before, but that war is to be watched carefully.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Obviously, a lot of eyes on the bond yields. Is that really going to be a signal that the market is ready to move higher when we see some stabilization there?
Yeah, the bond market has obviously been the issue. In fact, the headline for our essay, as you know, bond yield rise trips up equities yet again. That is a big factor. In the short run, you tell me what's going on in the bond market, and we probably know what's going on in equities. Equities are flattish now because the 10-year Treasury's flattish. This morning it was up over 5. That is, the 10-year is down to 4.91. Look, if rates begin to fall, Rob, yeah, initially that's good news for stocks, but eventually are rates going down because the economy is weakening and therefore we have an earnings problem? So I think investors will pause then as well.
Yeah. What about the job market? You know, we've been surprised at how well and how resilient the job market has been here in the U.S. Is that continuing, or are we seeing some cracks in there?
It is continuing. There's no question we're seeing some cracks here and there. But overall, the bond market, labor market has remained robust. We had another very low initial jobless claim number last week. That's a weekly statistic that comes out every Thursday, as you know, Rob. And that is signaling labor's just doing fine, despite some of the strikes and the massive number of people that are affected as a result.
Yeah. And then we're just getting underway with Q3 earnings, but what are you seeing coming in there?
So far, so okay. Sort of like the first two quarters of this year, when the dust settled, we could say, and earnings came in less bad than expected. But the less bad, meaning they were down. There's a shot we'll have up earnings here in the third quarter, but I think it's going to be more what do companies say about current business trends the fourth quarter and next year. And that's where we're concerned, because analysts have estimates for 2024 up 11% versus 2023. That's a big number unless the economy reaccelerates.
Yeah, no question about that. Bob, let's finish with the housing market. You know, this is such a challenging environment. And if you're trying to enter as a first-time home buyer, I mean, you've got average homes in this country now north of 400,000. We just crossed the 8% interest rate mark last year for a 30-year home loan. I mean, this is a difficult environment to get into the housing market, isn't it?
It sure is. I mean, if you have to, because you're moving somewhere, you've got to for life reasons. But for speculation, I wouldn't run out and go buy a whole lot of houses tomorrow morning for the reason you suggest. Prices have not dipped much. Borrowing costs are reasonably high. And part of that's a function of there's a shortage of housing. We didn't build enough houses, and the baby boomers that were supposedly live in their parents' basements forever are beginning to say, no, I want my own house. Yeah. So that's the reason, despite the numbers we put on the page, you can see the market being robust.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, Bob, let's wrap up today by just talking about the opportunity we have to put our values to work when we deploy capital. You know, even though this is a growing space and there's new products all the time, certainly you're right at the center of this and the funds that you manage. But for a lot of folks, this is still a brand new idea. Give them just a quick primer on what the opportunity is.
You are so correct. Whether it's individual Christians or even financial advisors who are Christians, a lot of people are just saying, oh, tell me more about this. It's still an education process. The opportunity, something you well know, Rob, yeah, is can I line up my investments with my values, with my faith? And the answer is yes, of course you can, just like you think about doing that the rest of your life. You wouldn't go rob a bank to get income because it's not the right thing to do. You wouldn't give your money away to organizations that are using it for subversive purposes. Yeah. Why not this investment piece the same way? Can I line things up? And the answer is you can. There are lots more products out than there were 5 and 10 years ago, and a lot of evidence. You don't have to give up any returns to do it. So my advice to Christian investors, Christian financial advisors, is think long and hard about this and figure out how to begin to do it.
Yeah, very good, Bob. Well, we know Crossmark Global is a great place to get started in that education process, and they can sign up for your weekly commentary, Dolls Deliberations, there as well, right?
Yes, sir. We'd be happy to serve anybody who's interested.
Very good. CrossmarkGlobal.com is the website. Bob, thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Rob.
All right. That's Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. He's a regular contributor at Fox Business and CNBC, and we're grateful for his insightful biblical analysis of the markets each week during this segment. All right. We're going to round out the program today here, folks. I've got room for maybe one more question. If you have a financial question today, 800-525-7000. You know, when it comes to those kids in the basement that Bob was talking about that are ready to get out on their own, a lot of them aren't quite launching yet. And we need to be thoughtful and intentional with our adult children about teaching them biblical financial principles before launching them into adulthood. And if it's too late for that, here's what you can do when you want to give your grown kids money. Number one, pray. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Second, remember there's nothing wrong with including your kids in your long-term financial plans, but when the unexpected happens and you decide to help, have a frank conversation before making any financial commitment. Insist on financial accountability and transparent communication. Thirdly, before you extend help, clarify your financial expectations. The goal is for your child to be living within his or her means and on a budget as much as possible before you extend any assistance. I would say also, and this one's key, give any financial gift a timeline so they know the help is temporary. And I would say put it in writing. Now, I know this might feel uncomfortable, but remember, good stewardship requires accountability. It's helpful for them and you to have the plan in writing to avoid miscommunication, which can lead to a damaged relationship. And then point your children to places where they can get wise financial counsel. They may be able to solve their own money problems with a little outside the family help. Now, listen, folks, I know watching your adult children struggle is hard, but it's important for you to weigh the matter carefully and then decide when and if, and that's key, your help is necessary. And when you need the wisdom, always turn to the Lord. This can be difficult, but hopefully that gives you some things to think about. All right, let's head back to the phones to Tennessee. Hey, Mark, how can we help you today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I've got, I'm retired. I'm 63 years old. Got about $1 million in investments with a financial advisor. I'm getting a return of probably about 4% over a 10-year, 3.75 over 5-year, and just over 0% over 3-year. I'm wondering, what should I expect from a portfolio when I'm getting a professional financial advisor helping me with my finances?
Yeah, in terms of the rate of return?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, the way you would typically approach this is you'd look at the investment strategy and then you would compare it to a benchmark. And you'd say, okay, if I had a growth and income portfolio and, you know, 60-40 stocks to bonds, what did a 60-40, you know, S&P 500 index versus the bond index, how did that return? And how do my returns compare? And then you would, you know, at least from, I mean, there's obviously a lot more than an advisor can offer in the way of planning and, you know, tax loss harvesting and, you know, also even faith integration. But just purely based on the returns, you'd have to look at it against the benchmark. And to the extent you're lagging the benchmark, if you were just lagging one of them and the other, you know, two, or you're positive, I mean, I think that's just to be expected. You're going to have seasonality to that. If you're lagging on all of them, you're lagging in the short term, you're lagging in the 3-year, you're lagging in the 5-year, I think that's a basis for a conversation, Mark, just to say, hey, let's talk about this. You know, when we look at my portfolio and how I'm allocated and we look apples to apples against the leading benchmarks, I'm paying you a fee and I'm not even earning, you know, the same as just if I were to put it into the index at the same allocation. Why is that? Let's talk about it. Where are we going from here? And why are we underperforming? That's a legitimate conversation, especially because you're paying for that oversight and management. But then I think you also need to look at the other elements to the relationship and have the advisor be able to explain to you what other value add is being brought to the table in terms of, again, taxes and faith-based and those types of things. So hopefully that gives you at least a starting point, Mark, to begin to think and talk about this. I'd just be really honest and transparent, though, when you have that conversation. Thanks for your call today. Frank, let's see if we can get you on tomorrow. I'm Rob West. Thanks to my team today, Devin, Robert, and Jim. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great rest of your day. See you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.